promised last week, we'll begin again with a review of what we started a new series several weeks ago, all right, we're laughing because we've got a kitty cat here that's entertaining us. She is just so, he's just so wonderful. We need to put the camera on him. I don't think he's interfering. I don't think he's interfering.
It's a touch screen.
But how to build and sustain a daily practice. And I'm going to review some of the points I did a couple weeks ago and then go into some new areas that we haven't talked about.
She can't hear you well.
So...
Move it up to closer to her.
Okay, so we're beginning again and again and again and again. Can you hear me okay? Can everybody hear me? Yes. Lalita, can you hear me? Okay. So, beginning again, that's a new really concept that we hear as we're practicing listening to the Dharma. And in hearing the Dharma, it's a beautiful practice of beginning again, because there's a freshness to it. And we begin to see and feel for ourselves the freshness of the present moment. It's kind of like when we were little kids, you know. We're excited about every breath, excited about every part of life. So, life is changing. Probably it is a lot faster than we even know how fast things are changing. But we can't close the door to newness, to freshness, because the truth is each moment is fresh. And there's an openness of groundlessness to that kind of perception, because nothing is solid and nothing is fixed. And so openness is unconstricted, free and peaceful. So if nothing is solid or permanent, then everything is changing and open. And that's important when we practice what we practice. We can feel the openness as a freedom. It's a freshness. And we can train to relax into this openness and to feel what it feels like to be in that space. So we can begin each moment fresh, whether we know it or not. But what we are seeing or experiencing for ourselves is... What is that spaciousness? Because we are touching it, and we are being with it, and we are beginning to see it. But the important thing is, if our cups are full, we'll miss out. And so the teachings of not knowing and beginning again are precious, and keeping that to the forefront. keeping us open to possibilities, possibilities that we didn't know were possible. So part of the lesson tonight is to listen as if you've not heard this before. Listen as if you've not heard it before, because really, it may be the first time you've heard it. And so, let's look at the document. Steve, put that document up. And let's just review it. How to build a practice. And so we started with reminding ourselves what the practice is all about in a nutshell. The four foundations of mindfulness. We are looking closely at what's going on in the body. We are really working on whole body awareness. We're becoming mindful of our feelings and the impact that our feelings have on us. On a moment's notice. Mindful of the mind. We know that the mind is useful, but we also are beginning to see that the mind can't always be trusted. And then we begin to see that we're just full of mind states, full of these mind states that we have carried along with us, some of us for a long, long time. And when we begin to really notice them and inquire about them, we find that they're not really truthful, or there's no substance to them. So preparing for the practice, and there's a few things we need in order to help us with that. But really all we need is ourselves and a commitment. And we've talked about making the commitment and how it somehow helps us, propels us into what we're trying to learn. So the commitment is important, and joining a sangha. Sangha is important because we can all share under the same umbrella the truth. And it connects us. And we've talked about how the Sangha enables us to connect in a way where we feel very safe and open and not as vulnerable as we are in other situations. So finding a place in your home or even in your office to go to each day. In a closet will work. It doesn't matter where it is. But it's just establishing a place, wherever it is, and set a time when to do it and for how long. And be as consistent as one can be. But again, don't use it as a way to punish yourself or make yourself feel anything, but it's time to begin again. So that's okay. Using good posture, Randy's always reminding us of that at the beginning. And the posture, nothing's holy about the posture. But the reason it's stressed is because it works, and it's worked for 2,500 years. And so, but it's not easy. It wasn't easy for me, but as I began to practice, I relied on, an alert posture where I'm not wanting to fall asleep, or I'm alert. Because we're looking at important phenomena about ourselves. So we want to treat it in that way. So just the head and the back, being straight And, you know, many times we'll slump. You know, I find myself slumping too. And you can hear Randy saying, well, if you're falling asleep or, you know, or you get tired, that's okay. Nothing's wrong with that. But then lifting the body for the readiness of what to learn. And so body scan, the next one. Body scan from head to toe or toe to head. And Randy guides that just about every week. And that's important because what is it doing? Well, it's taking us directly into our bodies and we're beginning to feel the wholeness of the body. And I've said this to you many times, when the teacher told me to go to the body, I went to the head because that's all I had paid attention to. I had no idea that there was this whole body awareness that is a treasure. So scanning the body, we do it in the Sangha, but do it daily. Do it every time you practice. You know, sit down and, you know, start with the head or the toes and begin to pay attention to the whole body. And so what we haven't talked about is stabilizing the mind. And whenever we sit down to meditate, the first thing we want to do is just settle. And again, Randy's real good about that. And settling means that we come into the room with the intent to practice. We're here. We have a body. We're sitting. And we intend to practice. So we allow ourselves to be completely how we are in this given moment. And we check in with ourselves. Randy says, what's the attitude of the mind, or what are you feeling right now? All those are just ways of getting us to focus on checking in with ourselves. So we have this sense of being here and knowing that we are here is important. It starts the process. And the point is that there's not a good way to come into meditation, or even a bad way. And if we come in calm and, you know, ready and peaceful, you know, we get this idea that's what we want, because that comes. But that's not the point. The point is to sit with whatever comes up. Whatever it is, to know it. To allow it. And it's a perfect time to investigate, what is this? And so it's not a good idea to critique our meditation. Oh, I had a good meditation. No, I had a bad meditation. There's no such thing. Because we are wanting all of it, sooner or later. It may not be here at the Sangha in this particular moment, but whatever we bring to the practice, that's our curriculum. So that's important to understand that we are open to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Under those umbrellas, there's no such thing as a good. Now you could say, I had a peaceful. That's great. And one of the things that we start out with, I certainly did, was the peace and the quiet. So attached to it, because I had not felt that sense of solitude to that depth before. And there's such a relief that immediately I wanted to get attached to it, so that when I sat down the next time with the monkey mind, I thought something was wrong. But really getting to know the monkey mind is so, so important, and to allow it. And that's how we get to know it. So really the only way we can measure our meditation is how present were we? How many times did I wake up? And even then, to say to ourselves that we weren't present, oh my goodness, I wasn't present. Well, nothing's wrong with that, because for one thing, you noticed you weren't present. And before, you would have never noticed whether you were present or not. So we're establishing that there's some sense of awareness about what is actually happening, not what the mind is creating, but what is actually happening in each given moment, and that's where the wisdom arises. Might not sound right, but that's how it works. So we establish the breath practice, and hallelujah, we're with the breath wherever we go. There's the breath. So that tool is so important, and once we develop this close relationship with our breath, we can depend upon it. And when we practice mindfulness meditation and breath is the primary object, that relationship changes. And so the breath stabilizes. It stabilizes us at any time. We can pause and, you know, for a few seconds and be in the present moment, feeling the breath, getting to know the breath, relying on the breath. It's a refuge. So breath practice really trains us in letting go, and through the breath we're able to relax and unwind. And that's what we're looking for, to unwind and relax. Why? Well, because there's a spaciousness that comes with that. That is unlike when we're feeling small and separate. And so focusing on your breath just for a few moments will soften us, especially if we practice with the breath. And that's what we do, we practice with the breath. So that tool is just so easy to apply any time during the day. We begin with the breath in our formal meditation as the object of meditation. And for one good reason is it's impermanent. It comes and it goes. It rises and it falls away. And have you noticed that sitting down with your breath, it's never the same, and it will never be the same? Because everything is changing constantly, even the breath. That's why it's not a breathing exercise, not at all. It is allowing the breath to breathe. As Randy said, breathe itself. And it's always changing, it's always flowing. It's not a stable thing. Once we begin to really see it for the truth of what it really is. So that's what we're doing. That's one of the things that we are so important in our practice to remember. Anytime we have any insight into things being impermanent, that is wisdom. And so we're developing our mind and training our mind to be present to impermanent things. And we're full of these impermanent things. Thoughts, emotions, sights and sounds. All the things that don't stay stable. We say, well, so what? Well, there's wisdom there. Not thinking about it in your mind and thinking the wisdom will arise, but beginning to open to the truth of it, then the wisdom arises. And so with that, the body and the mind synchronizes. There's a wholeness. And we're no longer divided. We feel that wholeness. It's what the practice does for us. And knowing what is happening when it is happening in any given moment is all that we're doing. And we're not designed to do it 100% of the time, but we do know that we can begin again. And when we're practicing and we leave the breath, then we come back. We begin again. We come back to the breath. I used to, early on, very much feel like it was all about the breath. Well, the breath is useful. But there's a reason that we develop this relationship with the breath. And we can see things when we have this kind of concentration that we are not privy to when we're active in our lives. So coming back to the breath is a good attitude to have when we sit down. Keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. And when I heard the teacher say that, that was such a relief. Because I judged my meditation by, you know, how long I could stay in the present moment. So the basic instruction is to bring out the stabilized quality of mind, the ability of the mind to stay in one place and to stay present. And this is where all the transformation that's going to happen will happen. And so let's be awake for it. So next week we're going to talk about the next item, establishing loving kindness for yourself. And I'll probably talk the whole time just about that. Because we all know we need lots of practice and sharing of what we're bringing to the cushion. So establishing loving kindness for yourself, it's so foreign to us, but is a necessity in order for us to be open to the things that the mind doesn't understand, but the heart does. So, thank you for being good listeners. It was wonderful being with you tonight. And so, we will open it up to you, question and answer.